The New American Standard in translating Psalm 85 for verse 5, instead of reading, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you," as does the New King James, then the sentence, "whose heart is set on pilgrimage," the New American Standard translates rather delightfully, "in whose heart are the highways to Zion." In whose heart are the highways to Zion? As many of us will be on the interstates and highways traveling this summer, I would like for us to consider this morning the traveling that we do every day and every moment of the day as we consider the highways of the heart, Psalm 84. Psalm 84 was called by the great Calvinistic Baptist preacher of another century, Charles Spurgeon, the Pearl of Psalms. It is indeed just that. And as we study it, we need to ask ourselves, does this psalm describe the roadmap of my own heart? Does my heart, do the highways of my heart appear as the highways to Zion? Consider with me, firstly, the character of the traveler's heart. The character of the traveler's heart. He is one who longs for the house of the Lord. As you notice in verse 2, the psalmist said, "My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." The true believer longs for God's house and for God's company and His people. Why does he long for it? The psalmist says in the first verse, he says, because it is lovely. And secondly, because it is the dwelling place, as the King James or the New American Standard translates, and as the New King James translate, "your tabernacle." It is lovely, and it is God's house, and it is God's tabernacle. It is God's dwelling place. The true believer longs to be in the house of the Lord. The true believer longs to be. By that I mean to emphasize the image which the psalmist himself brings to mind in verse 3 when he says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself." You see, at this point of writing, the psalmist, some suggest a Levite, some suggest one of the sons of Korah, some suggest David, regardless, the home and the opportunity and the family and the conveniences and the security of life, all of those have been removed from the psalmist at this time. He is denied access to everything that is familiar to him, and he is denied access to the house of the Lord. And so as he thinks about in his captivity, as he thinks about the house of the Lord, he thinks about the freedom of the sparrow and a little swallow that can fly into the house of God without restraint, with no bondage. He thinks about the security. He says even the swallow can build a nest. He thinks about the family opportunity to be in the house of God, as he says, a nest for her young. The psalmist longs for the house of the Lord. The strength of his longing is amplified, intensified by the use of the words that he uses in this psalm. Look at verse 2. Notice that the longing is inward. He says, "My soul longs. It is painful, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord." Then it's complete in the same verse. He says, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." I said that the psalmist longs for the house of the Lord, but there is something else here. The psalmist longs for the Lord of the house. As he says in verse 2 at the very end, he says, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Not just for his house, but my heart cries out for the God who is. For the living God. He meditates on God's name. You see, though he has been denied access into the house of God, if he cannot go to the sanctuary, then he will bring the sanctuary into his own heart. Did you notice the different words, names for God that Pat read as he read Psalm 84? In verse 1, there is the name Lord, that is the term Jehovah or Yahweh. In verse 2, there is the name El, that is the name God. In verse 3, there is the name Lord of hosts, Sabaoth, which describes God and His greatness and His dwelling and His majesty and His omnipotence over everything. There is the name in the same verse of Elohim. He combines these terms. Then in verse 8, he says, "O Lord God," he says, "Adonai Elohim Sabaoth." He combines the names of God into one as his mind becomes the sanctuary of God. He calls him my God. You see, the key to all true longing after God is if the Lord of the house is your Lord. And that will indicate whether or not you and I long after the house of God and long after the Lord of the house. There is the simple step to saying that the Lord of the house is my God, and the simple step is by repentance and faith. Perhaps the Lord of this house is not your Lord today. Perhaps you have never yet professed and confessed Him as your Savior and Lord. No wonder you don't long for the house of God. No wonder you don't long for the Lord of the house, because you don't know Him yet. But you can know Him by putting your faith in Him and by repenting of your sin and saying, "God, I want You as my personal Savior. Come into my life." I said that is the character of the traveler's heart. The character of the traveler's heart is one that longs after God. And I suggested to you, to us, before we started, that you ask yourself, can this be said of me? Can I read with genuineness and honesty and integrity Psalm 84? Can I say, "How lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the living God." Can you say that? Dear friend, is that the character of your traveling heart? The heart that you travel on day by day? Or is it possible, is it conceivable that you could go through an entire day and never think of the house of God and never think of the Lord of the house? consider with me, secondly, the highways of the heart. This traveler, this pilgrim, as it is suggested that this psalm could have been sung or recited as pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. This pilgrim appreciated the highway of spiritual privilege. Look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. My version, New King James, my heart, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, New American Standard. Blessed is the man in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? Just think about that. Happy is the man in whose heart are the highways to Zion. He appreciates the highway of spiritual privileges. He appreciates the fact that he is given a heart which is set on God, whose heart will ultimately lead him to the heavenly city. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate our privileges until they are removed, until we no longer have them. The psalmist had lost everything. He had lost family, he had lost country, he had lost opportunity, he had lost convenience, he had lost access to the church of God. And yet in captivity, removed from everything, he does not lament the loss of his possessions, his television, or his boat, or his car, or his home, or even his family. What he misses the most, what he longs for more than anything else, is to be with God's people in God's house once again. Dear friend, do you appreciate the spiritual privilege that you have? Charles Spurgeon said, some people need to be whipped to church. But the psalmist cried for it. I remember last fall, as the group of us, some 20 ministers visiting Madras, India, worshiping God on a Sunday morning in the Christ Anglican Church with Indians and ourselves, and we stood up to recite the Apostles' Creed. I know that we do it often here and we get used to it and we sometimes are not aware of the privilege, but I want you to know that among those of us who were new and fresh and in a foreign country, it was electric to recite the creed which is bound us together. What a privilege. What a privilege to be in God's house. A Mexican elder of a Presbyterian church got drunk one weekend. And he was called before his session, and his session said, because you got drunk, then you're going to be barred from taking communion for a certain period of time. And when communion was served in that little Mexican church, that elder sat on a rock outside of his church and he wept because he could hear the singing and he could hear the preaching, but his privilege was removed. Is the highway of spiritual privilege traveled by you, friend? Do you appreciate the privilege of coming to the house of God? I consistently admire elderly people one such as was here today who had to be removed. She tells me that she is no longer of tremendous use in the church, and I tell her that her presence is inspiration enough because her heart is broken as well as other elderly people I know. They are broken if they cannot be in God's house, and they will rearrange their schedule and everything just to be in God's house, though limbs are sore and body is aching and the threat of the failure of health, they will not miss. Oh, friend, do not wait until the privilege is gone before you and I realize what it is that we have. He appreciates. There is the traveler's heart. There is the man who longs after God. His longing is evidenced in that he appreciates the highways of spiritual privileges. But there is something else in this psalm. He advances along the highway of spiritual obstacles. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. You remember I said that the psalmist is perhaps on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And in order to get to Jerusalem, he has to go through the valley of Baca. Now, there is no real historical place that has been discovered, but the word is a word which means weeping. Possibly it means dryness. Do you see the image? Look at the verse again. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. You see, that person, that traveler in whose heart are the highways of the Zion, he advances along the highway of spiritual obstacles. The valley of Baca was an obstacle. It was dry. And yet the pilgrim, because he knew where he was going, he made it a place of great spiritual privilege and opportunity. He found in it the oasis of grace. You see, life itself is sometimes dry to us as we travel along our pilgrimage to God's heavenly city. Why we find ourselves in this difficulty and that problem or some illness or some bereavement or some other relationship, some problem that we're facing. But you see what the psalmist did? He turned the valley of weeping into a spring of hope. The true believer will do just that. I mean, the true believer will look at all of the rough places in life and he will see those as opportunities to draw closer to God. There is a person in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The Puritans used a phrase, they said, we ought to learn to see the face of Christ in all of our affliction. Do you see the face of Christ? Whatever affliction you are undergoing now, whatever deprivation, whatever problem, whatever suffering, whatever illness, whatever adversity, dear Christian, do you see the face of Christ? Is your heart one that leads you to Zion? And then he avoids the highway of spiritual substitutes. Notice verse 10. It says, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. And then he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, the psalmist probably was just that, a doorkeeper. Sons of Korah, sometimes they sang in the choir, but their main responsibility was to keep the house of God straight. They rebelled against God's anointed at one time, and a couple of them were killed by God himself, but they were restored, and now they sang in the choir, and they served as greeters at the door. And the psalmist says, no substitute, not the pleasures of sin, not the enjoyments of the flesh, can satisfy me more than just standing and keeping the door of God's house. The Christian life, dear friend, is better than all of the counterfeits, all of the substitutes that can be offered for it. For one day lived in a quality life in Christ is better than 1,000 living according to the flesh. Not length of life is what is important. It is the quality of life. Is the quality of your life one where your heart can say, in my heart dwell? In my heart are the highways of God? Is that your heart? Then finally, consider not only the character of the traveler's heart, he longs for God. The highways of the traveler's heart, as we have seen here, the highway of spiritual privilege, the highway of spiritual obstacles, which he turns into a source of blessing, the highway of spiritual substitutes that a person may think will satisfy him, but only one thing, and that is to be with God and to be in God's house ultimately. And there's no substitute for being where God expects you and me to be. But there is the destination of the traveler's heart. There is an old saying that all roads lead to Rome. You remember it? We've sort of baptized that into religion in that we say, well, all religions, listen to this, you've probably heard it before, all religions lead to the same place, but only by different roads. You ever heard that? All religions are going to the same place, but they are just leading on different roads. There is only one road that will lead you to a happy conclusion. And that is the highway to Zion, the highway to God. It is God himself. That is the meaning of verses 9 and 10. He says, O Lord, O God, behold our shield, look upon the face of your anointed. He desires to be in the house of God. He'd rather be in the house of God than to be in the tents of wickedness. O Lord, the Lord will give grace and glory. There's only one road, and it is through a personal relationship with the God who is. He is a personal God. Is he your personal God? Is he the God that you are trusting in? Is he the God who has put in your heart a desire and a longing after him? Do you long for God? Do you desire him? He is a God who is all sufficient. Look at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The thought about God being a sun reminded me of something that we studied a long time ago in junior high biology and science. You remember studying photosynthesis? I haven't even thought about photosynthesis in quite some time. But I, in thinking about God being the sun, I happened to go to an encyclopedia to reread some things that I had forgotten. And it was just amazing. It was just amazing to go back and to reread and to think about something as simple as photosynthesis that goes on in nature, and to think about it in a Christian context where the Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun." And normally we just think of brightness, but do you know that in the process of photosynthesis, that the energy that a plant draws comes directly from the sun. And so all of life in essence, all food products in essence come as a result from the sun's energy and light. All food sources, because the animals eat the plants and so forth. And so that when the psalmist says that the Lord God is a sun, do you see the confession that God is the one who is the one who sustains all of life completely? Why, you could not lift your arm were it not for the Lord God in enabling you to do so. And in the final kingdom, there is no sun there, because the Lord in Christ is our light. He is a sun. A sun does one more thing, and that is it reveals the dirt. The sun of God's righteousness reveals your sin, and yet the psalmist finally concludes with, "The Lord is a shield." Not only does he reveal your sin, but he shields you from his own justice. Just like an umbrella protects you from the rain falling down, so the umbrella of God's mercy, which is the cross of Jesus Christ, is protecting you from the rain of God's justice and wrath upon you. This is our God, and this is the psalmist in his longing after God. May God enable you to be such a traveler day by day and moment by moment, that in your heart you will find the highways to Zion. What about you? Let's pray.